the beginning of the month, Wisconsin stopped covering health care services that would be of particular benefit to transgender state employees. The state's group insurance board had decided last summer that gender reassignment surgery and other associated treatments would be covered based on rules in the Affordable Care Act.
That decision went into effect on January 1st of this year. But 1 month later, the state backed out of covering particular services for transgender people. The State of Department of Employee Trust Fund said that it would reinstate its earlier exclusion of, quote, procedures, services, and supplies related to surgery and sex hormones associated with gender reassignment, end quote.
As Republicans on the Hill try to make good on their promises to repeal and replace Obamacare, questions remain about what kind of coverage transgender people in Wisconsin and beyond can get for gender reassignment services. Kellen Baker joins us now to tell us more. He's a senior fellow at the Progressive Public Policy Research and Advocacy Organization, the Center for American Progress. Kellen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
Well, as things stand right now with the still existing Affordable Care Act, what federal rules are in place when it comes to transgender inclusive health benefits?
One of the major federal rules that's in place around the provision of health care services for transgender people is the Affordable Care Act. Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act still does protect transgender people, just as it protects all Americans who deserve the right to get the same services that anyone else would need without discrimination. The other important protection for transgender people when it comes to health insurance coverage and health care is actually Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in employment. So that's another major change that we're seeing in terms of the application of those civil rights protections for transgender people seeking coverage and care.
And then this has been subject to a legal challenge from a handful of states. Wisconsin has signed on to that challenge, as I understand it. What are the grounds behind that challenge?
The challenge to Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act is basically arguing that the expansion of protections for transgender people is not something that the Affordable Care Act intended to do. But as we're looking at what the law is trying to achieve, it is making sure that anybody, regardless of who they are, has the same access to the healthcare services that are medically necessary for them. So this challenge is trying to argue that the Affordable Care Act intended to carve out or exclude protections for transgender people, which I just don't think is the case.
The argument, I guess, would be that it didn't specifically include if it defined by sex, but didn't include a phrase like gender identity or something like that. Would that be the argument there that, well, it wasn't specifically included?
That's the basic idea. That's saying that because the words gender identity are not in the statute, that transgender people are not protected, which honestly is kind of the same as looking at the Constitution and saying because it says men, it doesn't protect women, too.
Where is that particular legal challenge in the courts right now?
Currently, there is a preliminary injunction that has been issued by a federal judge in the North District of Texas. So that injunction applies nationwide, and what it means is that the Office for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services cannot enforce the provisions of Section 1557 that would specifically protect transgender people from discrimination.
How have we seen insurance coverage, deal with this particular provision under the Affordable Care Act? First of all, with public providers of health care insurance for public workers.
It's actually really interesting because so much of the conversations that are happening around health insurance coverage are focusing on Section 1557, both for transgender people and for others. But actually, when it comes to the provision of coverage for trans people, the trends started before the Affordable Care Act, actually among employers. So even before the Affordable Care Act passed, we were starting to see major employers removing transgender-specific exclusions from their plans, looking at their non-discrimination statements or their EEOs and recognizing that a commitment to non-discrimination on the basis of gender identity needs to mean that they can't have insurance exclusions that target trans people. So over the last, I would say, 7 or 8 years, we have seen a significant wave of momentum that was really initiated by employers removing these exclusions, and now we're actually to the point where we have seen 19 states plus Washington, D.C., actually having insurance commissioners issue guidance clarifying that plans subject to state regulation cannot have transgender-specific exclusions because they discriminate against transgender people. And at least 10 state governments have taken the exact same step that Wisconsin did of removing the exclusion in their state employee plans to make it possible for transgender state employees to get the care that they need. So it's actually a significant wave of momentum that precedes the Affordable Care Act and I think is continuing despite setbacks such as what happened in Wisconsin or despite the uncertainty around the future of the Affordable Care Act itself.
Right. That the end of that exclusion, which is kind of a double negative, but basically allowing the public worker coverage to cover this treatment for transgender people, transgender inclusive health care, that was in effect for a month, almost exactly. It came into effect January 1st, trying to comply with the Affordable Care Act, and then taken back off at the beginning of February under this court order. Have you seen other states make similar steps toward and then away from this coverage?
No, honestly, and it's very concerning to see Wisconsin taking this kind of step backwards, especially when it's not something that the Affordable Care Act or even the injunction against Section 1557 requires. All the Affordable Care Act does is say, please treat everyone fairly. And the injunction says, well, we're not sure what kind of requirements or what kind of penalties there may be for people who continue to exclude, but nowhere does the injunction say that you have to put these exclusions back in. That is a decision that was made purely by the board for reasons that I really unfortunately think are targeted at transgender Wisconsins in a way that that I find very concerning.
Do we have an idea of what expanding to this kind of coverage costs an employer or a state government?
There's actually been some studies that have come out over the last several years looking at the experience of employers. So one, for example, looking at the experience of Fortune 500 companies that had removed transgender exclusions from their plans. And what they found is that the cost of the expansion of coverage is minimal, negligible, zero. The legal term that keeps getting thrown around is de minimis, which really just means it doesn't actually cost anything. Because really what we're seeing here is there is this expectation that transgender care is expensive, but it's actually not, because most people really need hormone replacement therapy, and they may need specific surgeries that are medically necessary for them to treat gender dysphoria. But this is the kind of care that actually doesn't break the bank for an insurance company, but is incredibly important for transgender people who need it. Also, there was actually another study that came out of the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health in 2015 that looked at the cost effectiveness of providing access to transition-related care and actually found that it's significantly more cost effective to provide access to the care that people need rather than depriving them of medically necessary health care and then trying to deal with the negative consequences.
Talking to Kellen Baker from the Center for American Progress about coverage, insurance coverage of gender reassignment treatments, surgery, hormones, and more. Wisconsin briefly allowed that for a month and then switched at the beginning of this month again to not covering that for state employees. Kellen, I think some people might be listening and hearing the phrase gender dysphoria and the phrase medically necessary and thinking, you know, if you have a heart attack, it's medically necessary to get treated for that. If you have a disease, the antibiotics might be medically necessary. People maybe not familiar with transgender issues might say this is optional. This is something that they can choose to do or not. Therefore, it doesn't need to be covered. What would you say to them?
Really, when it comes to the medical necessity of transition-related care for transgender people, don't take my word for it. I'm not a doctor. What we should be taking the word for it is coming from the American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association, the American Psychological Association, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. The list goes on and on of all of the major medical associations in the United States that have publicly stated that gender-affirming care for transgender people is medically necessary, that gender dysphoria is a real and serious condition for which there exists real treatments that actually make people better.
I want to look at the road ahead on this issue now, and it seems like there's a few different paths. There's the courts, there's what happens with the Affordable Care Act, and then what happens with the employers you were talking about earlier. Let's start in the courts. We have this injunction in place. Is there a challenge? Is this something that's going to end up at the Supreme Court?
think what a lot of us are expecting is that this will be part of the discussion around the case that's going to the Supreme Court regarding access to facilities for transgender people in schools under Title IX. So looking at the question of the degree to which, from a legal perspective, the term sex does include gender identity. I think all of us lay people would sort of look at gender identity and realize, well, obviously that has to do with your sex. The question that will be before the Supreme Court is how that plays out exactly in the law. So I think a lot of us, I for one, don't expect any further action specifically on 1557 from any other courts before we hear from the Supreme Court in June.
And then in Congress, of course, a lot of attention to the idea of repealing the Affordable Care Act, replacing it with something. If that provision in the Affordable Care Act is taken out, does that change the landscape?
I think the key word in your question, honestly, is something. I, for one, would love to see what plan Republicans in Congress are proposing to replace the Affordable Care Act, since the Affordable Care Act itself is a Republican proposal. So when it comes to finding a cheaper way to make it possible for more people to get access to private health insurance coverage and to make it possible for them to use that coverage to get care, I don't know that there's any better option out there than the Affordable Care Act.
Now, supposing Congress gets rid of this provision in the Affordable Care Act, the courts don't change the tune on this current injunction, do you think that employers, whether public employers or private employers, will still see this trend toward more coverage of transgender-inclusive health benefits?
I do. You know, as we were talking about the trend that started actually among employers before the Affordable Care Act, recognizing that, you know, not supporting people in getting the health care that they need is not a good business practice. So I think we've seen over the last several years a real explosion in the number of employers who are providing inclusive coverage for their transgender employees and coming out with the experience that it doesn't actually cost anything. I mean, when you look at the number of transgender people, the most recent estimates out there are about 1.4 million transgender people in the United States. That's about 0.45% of the population overall. And the same is true of Wisconsin. Looking at the numbers for Wisconsin specifically, it's less than half a percentage point of the state's population who are transgender. So this isn't about breaking the bank or spending money that we don't have. It's about making it possible for people to be who they truly are.
We'll leave it there for now. Kellen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Rob. It was a pleasure.
That was Kellen Baker, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He joins us to talk about health care benefits for transgender state employees after Wisconsin stopped covering gender reassignment surgery and other treatments for state workers earlier this month.
Coming up after the news, we'll look at why millennials aren't running for office and what, if anything, can be done to make a career in politics appeal to members of this generation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.